off last week. We were discussing a very touchy topic, really. And it comes up a lot, especially in our circles and where we live, is the question and the dilemma of to buy Jewish or to not buy Jewish. Today we live in a world where, you know, there's Amazon and there's Costco and BJ's and all these other goodie stores that make it very appealing to buy versus going to the local Jewish store and perhaps even paying more. So we left off last week. We were delving into the topic. I'm sure everyone just didn't shop for a week, just because they weren't sure. So outside of Chumrah, everyone just either didn't shop or just bought Jewish. Okay, that's a Chumrah, I don't know. So we left off last week. The conclusion that we reached was that there is a Torah Kohanim quoted by Rashi that does make a comment that when a person sells, he should sell to a Jew, and when he buys, he should buy from a Jew. And there is a Tshuvas Ramah that does write it, even in a case where there's a significant amount of loss, meaning it will cost more to buy from the Jew. You have to know the background. We mentioned this last time. The Ramah was talking about the famous Marami Padua's printing of the Rambam, and the Marami Padua printed the Rambam, and someone else, not Jewish person, printed the Rambam at a lower price. And the Ramah, in his tshuva, had at least one reason. He had about five reasons to why you have to buy from the Jew. But the one reason that he was very relevant to our sugya, the reason was because of this halacha in the Torah Kohanim. So the Ramah was the one who really made this famous. This halacha, which is quoted by Rashi on Chumash, Torah Kohanim, but unfortunately not by the great Rishonim, not by the Rif, not by the Rambam, and not by the Rush, which is why it really wasn't popular till the Ramah made it popular again in the 1600s, late 1500s, when the Ramah wrote this famous tshuva about the Marami Padua and the printing. This really made it etched in halacha, that now it becomes a din that you have to buy Jewish. Now, the chiddush of the Ramah was, the Ramah said, even if it's going to be at a loss, and it sounds like from the Ramah, even if it's going to be a significant loss, you still have to buy Jewish and not buy from a non-Jew. We ended off last week, we saw that the Chafetz Chaim actually paskens that way in two places. One place in his Sefer Avas Chesed, he writes explicitly that you have to lose money even to buy from a Jew. The problem is in Avas Chesed, he uses an interesting lashon. There he writes pachos, a little bit. It sounds like you only have to incur a little bit of a loss, not a significant loss. And he tells you to look in the Ramah. And the problem is if you look in the Ramah sounds like even if it's a large cost. So it's not clear how to learn with the Chafetz Chaim. And we ended off with the Chafetz Chaim's comment in the Sharet Zion and Hilchas Dalad Minim, where he was discussing those people who buy Lov and Esroigim. He says you should buy from a Jewish, distributor instead of a non-Jewish distributor. However, we pointed this out, that the Mishnah Berurah in the Sharet Zion doesn't tell you what's the difference in price between the Jewish distributor and the non-Jewish distributor. And this is something that we have to really take home with us. All of the Achrayim that we've been seeing till now all agree that if it's Shavah B'Shavah, everything is equal, then you really should buy Jewish. The only question is, when it's not equal, I'm going to take a loss, do I still have to lose to buy from a Jew or sell to a Jew? But if it's Shavah B'Shavah, everything's equal, right? You'll get the same price. Again, Shavah B'Shavah is not only just money. I think many people were asking about the fact that, let's say, for example, Costco, you can get things in bulk, and the Jewish stores, you can't get in bulk. So that's not Shavah B'Shavah anymore. It's not the same object. You're not mechuyev, again, you're not mechuyev to buy Chol Yisrael ice cream to help support Golden Flow, because I don't like I don't like the product. I don't like what they're selling. You're not mechuyev to buy that you don't want just to support a Jew. That's pashut. It's just, it's the same product. Right? So if the Jewish store is selling the exact same product as a non-Jewish store, but if they're not selling the same product, because the non-Jewish store sells it in bulk and the Jewish store don't sell it in bulk, or I want to buy non-Jewish, right? Someone asked me an interesting shiloh. You go to the grocery store, there's two lines of cereal. There's the Kemach and there's the Kellogg's. So am I mechoyev to buy Kemach to help support a Jew? The answer is lav dafka. I don't like the Kemach cereal. I don't like the way it tastes. So if I like the way Kemach cereal tastes, and I like equally the way Kellogg's cereal tastes, maybe I should buy Kemach to help keep Kemach in business. But if I don't like Kemach cereal, you're not mechuyev to buy that you don't like to support a Jew. That's not the obligation over here. The obligation over here is talking about you're going to sell it anyways. You're going to buy it anyways. Then, if you're going to sell it or you're going to buy it, then we ask you to buy from a Jew instead of buying from the guy. But if you don't like what they're selling, I already haven't started with this. If you don't like what they're selling, well, they're not selling what you need, so of course you're not mechuyev to buy. You're not mechuyev to buy that you don't want or that you don't need. So that's just something we have to remind ourselves about. We're talking about when it's shavah b'shavah. Shavah b'shavah means everything is equal, and the taste and everything is equal. Then you're not mechuyev. Then you should try, if you could, to buy from a Jew. Then you should try to buy from a Jew, if possible, as opposed to not buying from a Jewish store. Okay. Now, Not sure who asked Ketiva, someone in person or someone asks a question on Zoom. Yeah, Shaila. Yeah, Michael, go.
Okay, you know, let's say, for instance, a car lease. Okay, you know, let's say the product is the same, but the service is not. Let's say the guy will service you better. So what's that Shava B'Shava? Is it only considered...
No, that's not Shava B'Shava. That would be the example of taking a loss. That's an example of getting the exact same thing, but occurring a loss by doing it. Because if I go with a non-Jew, he'll give me more than the Jew gives me. But that's all part and parcel of this halacha that you might have to take a loss to buy Jewish. But I'm not mechuyev to buy something I don't want. I mean, you want the car, you want the lease.
You don't want it. It's the same car. I'm getting the same car.
Right.
The same thing. The difference is the guy will service me better in the transaction.
Right. So that's the same thing as the guy would be charge you a cheaper rate than the Jew. It's the same thing. But if you don't want the guy selling, you're not mechuyev to buy Kemach cereal just because you want to support the Kemach industry. But if you happen to like Kemach cereal, fine, that's something else. If you like Kellogg's, you're not mechuyev to buy Kemach. Yeah, Ronnie? Yeah.
Yes.
We get to, that's the next five sources are going to crunch the numbers and see what we're talking about.
When it's not numbers, let's put in something very practical. There's a lot of people that lease cars. So bunch of from people to do it, and you never know where you're going to end up until you start negotiating.
Right.
So are we supposed to only go to a Jew in that case?
What do you mean? I'm saying why?
Because you're not buying a product off a shelf. You're going to sit down, you're going to say, I want this car.
Right.
It could be 370 a month, it could be 400.
So you're going to the dealer that you're going to.
Firms that are just Jewish.
Right.
So you go. That's all they do
is lease cars. Right. So I would think.
You have to go to them as opposed to.
Yeah, I would think that would be the same thing as a buying and a selling. So I'm going to buy. Again, I plan on getting a lease. So if I get a lease, this Jewish guy gets a cut. Supposed to have to go to the guy. And the guy gets the cut. So I would assume you should try to go to the Jewish one. I would think it's the same. Again, the question is, we at the end of the day, you know, it's not in Shulchan Aruch. And that's a big deal. That's not a small thing. The end of the day, it's not on the pages of the Shulchan Aruch, Riff, or Rambam. So that's always going to be something in the back of your mind where you can always say, listen, it's not in Shulchan Aruch. And we'll see Achorinim actually put that on paper. But right now, no one says that yet. Right now, we're working with the Mishnah Berurah Navas Chesed. Mishnah Berurah Navas Chesed says that you have to buy Jewish, even if it's going to cost you a little bit more. Now, what's a little bit more? How does this work in numbers? Dollars and cents, right? So let's see. So if you look over in number 16, the Chashukei Chemet quotes from the Sefer Nachla Shiva. The Nachla Shiva says it's a sixth. That's a large number. The sixth, the magical number six. That's the number when it comes to, you know, overcharging. The sixth is the magical number. So if the difference in price is a sixth, within a sixth, then you have to buy Jewish. If it's more than a sixth, then you're not mechuyev to buy from the Jew, you can buy from the... That's the first sheet that is quoted over here. So you got to go down and crunch the numbers. You got to know what you're buying and what you're selling, you know. You got to figure it out. Is it going to be a sixth or is it not going to be a sixth? Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the next page on page 3 was asked this question. He was asked, Chocham Echad Rotza Loimar Shashir Oirich Yeser Hu Chamishis. Someone told him that it's a fifth. Kemoishim Yocha Liknais Misro Yikdim Emenu Veloimi Goyim Ahefesh Bemichir Hu Chamish. Someone asked Rechaim Kanevsky. Someone told Rechaim Kanevsky that the difference is a fifth. A fifth is the difference whether or not to buy from a Jew or not from a Jew. And he writes something interesting. He says, no. Heichin Kosov Chamish. His answer is, Mechat Esim. Where does it say that? And he quotes Tosfos and Avodah Zarah that we saw last week. Tosfos pointed out, when Tosfos over there was talking about the giving of the meat to the ger, as opposed to selling it to the guy, Tosfos said over there, the reason why you should do that way, because it's only a davar mut. It's a small amount. So I guess, so Rechaim Kanevsky is not convinced that a fifth would be a davar mut. But he yet doesn't tell us what the number is. The problem is, if you look over here in the next source, they quote Rechaim Kanevsky,
a
fifth? Depending on how large the deal is, right? Everything is relative, right? You know, if we're talking about buying, you know, a box of cookies, right? It's a lot of money. So again, so anything that's within 20%, you have to buy Jew. More than 20%, you can buy from a non-Jew. Now, the problem is, if you look over here in another sefer, they asked Chaim Kanevsky that we have a problem over here. The Mishnah Berurah told us to look at the Tshuvas Ramah. The case of the Tshuvas Ramah, the difference in price between the Merami Padawa's Rambam and the Goy's Rambam was a lot. So you see from that story that you even have to spend a lot. So what's a lot? So Chaim Kanevsky answered, up to a third. Now that's a lot. It's amazing. He had a problem with a fifth, but he was okay with a third. A third is more than a fifth, right? A third is a lot of money. Kidei liknois min ha'isova min ha'goy. So that's a lot of money, according to Chaim Kanevsky. A third is a significant amount of money that you got to spend in order to buy from a Jew as opposed to a goy. The Maram Shik has a tshuva where he discusses what about travel or tircha. Let's say, for example, you live in a community where the Jewish store is 3 miles away. The non-Jewish store is down the block. So I could drive down the block to, again, this is more relevant in more like out-of-town communities. Over here, not so much, I guess, depending on where you live. It could be that the, it could be that, what's the store on Rockaway? No? Where everyone goes? Costco. Costco could be closer to you than the kosher stores, depending on where you live in the Five Towns, right? So the question is there a bigger tircha for me to go all the way out to the to Jewish stores, to Central Avenue, whatever it is? It's just quicker to go to Costco. So maybe I'm not mechoyev to travel, especially now gas. Gas is expensive, right? Every block you're paying for gas is you'll be getting up to a shlish by the time we're done, right? So how does this work? So the Maram Shik writes in the Tshuva number 19. He says, "Om no mishum tircha de tricha le milsa yoyse liknois eitz yisrael me eitzel nachri she is svar litchais kedima hanal lo yishamanu." Says the Maram Shik, "Bother, I didn't hear that. That's a reason. I haven't yet heard that inconvenience is a reason not to buy Jewish." Meaning, if it's an inconvenience to buy from the Jewish store, says the Mamshik, that I never heard as a legitimate heter not to have to buy from a Jewish store. Mamshik? Mamshik was the middle of the 1800s. Hungarian. Next week's show, we'll talk even more about the Mamshik and the Hungarian background. But the Mamshik was one of the great Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. He took over in Pressburg. Mid-1800s, we're talking about. So he writes, Tircha's not a cheshbon. So let's give an example, the Jewish store is further away. And the Goy store is much closer. Let's take an example, you have a 7-Eleven at your corner. So, of course, I can go to 7-Eleven to get the milk. I can go the extra 3 blocks to go to the grocery store, the kosher grocery store. And I'm going to do that. So he thinks, he doesn't know for sure that that's a heter. The fact that it's a tircha, he says, mecha teisa, that's a heter.
It's the same price, right?
No, maybe not. Could be even the Jewish store is more expensive.
We just said
there's a difference in price, how much you have to go. Mr. Bruce says you have to go a muat, a little bit. The question is, what's a little bit? So we had different, anywhere from a sixth to a third, which is... could be a significant amount of money. Again, if you're buying a house or selling a house, this could be a big shayla you have. Right? A guy, two people knock on your door, they both want to buy a house. You know, one's Jew, one's a not Jew, and the Jew will most likely offer you less than the Jew, than the guy. I hate to sound so anti-Semitic, but you know, I think that's the Matthias. So what do you do? So if you accept this halach, you have to say to the guy, I'm sorry, I'm going to sell it to the Jew, even though I'm going to lose money. Okay, if that's the halach. Right, if they can prove it, I guess. If that's the halach, again, I'm emphasizing the word if that's the halach. So the Maram Shik writes over here, no, that's part of what it means. He writes, you think it's such a small thing to support a Jewish person? Right, there's something special about helping out Aniyim. Helping out someone to survive. Over here, it's not even stalker. Here it's business, right? You're giving and he's taking. Right? So I'm shik, this is part of chesed. Again, so a person can argue, I do enough chesed. I volunteer my time, I give my meiser. Who says I have to do chesed again? Legitimate claim. We'll see how to make that argument. There's a limit to chesed also, right? So he writes, how can you not want to bother yourself? Okay, so he gives a nice bracha that if you push yourself to go to the Jewish store and help support the Jewish stores, Hashem will give you good things. Okay, so the Maram Shik seems to be a big proponent of this halacha. He does not seem to justify the fact that it's an inconvenience or a tircha to have to buy from the Jewish store. Then they quote over here another psak from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes number 20. Hagoyin Reb Chaim Kanievsky hoyrish hashir b'zehu kemoi shayotereich avur chafetzov ha'ashiyim. Meaning, how do you measure, you know, how far you have to go to buy Jewish? He says, "Dimo you mochem the treich kokach limtzachif it's yoser noah yoser toif." If you're one of those guys that are willing to hack around to find something nicer, you're willing to travel, right? Some people are not so picky. They'll take whatever is the closest, most convenient. They're not running around. But if you're one of those guys, you'll run around, you'll handle, you'll travel, and you'll go. So he says you should do the same thing to buy Jewish. Okay. So that's a very subjective definition that everyone's going to be different. If you look over there, say, Shraga Hameya is written by Reb Shilbank. He was a Rav in London. So he writes this. He says it's all subjective. Right? You have people that are very wealthy. Guy was very wealthy. A couple extra dollars is not going to break him. Right? The guy goes to the Jewish store and pays $2.99 as opposed to $1.99. Baruch Hashem, he will not feel it so much. So he writes, that's the way it should work. L'fi devereinu, shiragdov emuotzach lo'isav diknes eitz Yisrael, can move on, shizah hama'i toli ma'kainu hu asher ronyoni. It's going to depend on the guy buying it. It depends on his financial situation. The legabi asher zehu ma'at, for an asher it's very little. V'mu'oni efshe shizah ma'at hu abe. It's all going to be subjective. Everyone has their own bank account. So for one guy, if he shops at a Jewish store versus the Goyish store, so yes, it's going to cost him $5 extra. Okay, no, it's not going to, I get $5 extra every day times 6 days a week, times Shabbos and Yom Tov, it'll be a couple hundred dollars, but okay, no, it's not going to dent him. But for the other guy who's living paycheck to paycheck, counting every penny, it's going to add up for him. So he thinks it's going to be subjective. He thinks that everything is going to depend on your own financial situation and what you can and cannot handle. That's his description of this halacha, which again happens to make a lot of sense. Because why? I'm not mechoyev to go into debt to support you. Right? Why am I mechoyev to go broke so you can have a business? I want a business also. Why don't you support me? So Terez says, oh, again, we're talking about a case where it's not going to dent you too much, and therefore you're mechoyev to go a little bit. That's not going to make a significant amount of dent in your personal financial situation. The Adkan, till now, we've been discussing all those achronim that are very makbid, for the most part, on this halacha. They take this halacha seriously, and there's just a discrepancy how much and different situations. Now we're going to switch over to a whole group of achronim, mainly Rav Moshe Sternbach, who happens to need Rav Shlema. He was, they just took him to the hospital, I think, the other day. He might need a pacemaker, some other things. He needs Rav Shlema, so it should be a schus for him to quote his svarim. He has quite a few tshuvas on this topic, and he happens to be extremely lenient on this entire halacha about the about this concept about buying Jewish.
I think you remember, but I'm not sure if I remember.
Yeah.
Just thinking about, according to the, let's say, the Machmer ones, are you able to go over to the Jewish person and say, hey, look, you're $1.99?
We're going
to
talk about that.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about that. Why don't we have the right to demand that the Jewish stores lower their prices? I mean, it's not very nice. You guys want to make the prices higher, and then you guys say to us, well, you have to buy from me because that's halacha. Who told you to raise the prices? So that's another question that we haven't yet dealt with to see how that works with regard to playing with the prices. I'm just trying to see. Of course, the computer's not behaving today, and we have people online, so of course it's not going to work. It's a skula. All the weeks no one comes, it works fine. People come. So that's the big problem. That's the problem. The problem with the small stores have a much harder way of making money. And because of that, they have to raise the prices. So it might not be that they're trying to rip you off. It might just be that they got to stay competitive because of the nature of the business. Okay. So let's see. So Rav Moshe Sternbach has a whole bunch of tshuvas on this topic. We'll go through a bunch of them. Number 22. He writes, he also talks about another issue which we'll get into later tonight. Is there a perk of buying from a religious Jew more than a non-religious Jew? This can get really sticky. You know, in the world we live in today, there's quite a few non-religious Jews. Again, we'll see some paiskim even if he's a Tinnik Shenishba. Tinnik Shenishba, not his fault. He was raised in Kentucky, never saw a Jew in his life. But it's still, as far as he's not a Jew, he's not a religious Jew. So is there a reason not to do business or not to buy and sell? This gets really sticky. Two guys show up to buy the house. One guy's a frum guy, one guy's a non-religious Jew, Israeli, whatever he is. Who do you sell the house to? Okay, so Rav Moshe Sternbach says it's not clear what the numbers are. He says, V'ulai hashir hu kadeh hiluch mil. He thinks there is a level. I mean, the Maim Shik said he doesn't know, he's unaware of any heter for distance. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach, well, maybe there is a mil. A mil is 18 minutes worth of travel. That's what a mil is. There's really three shitas what a mil is, but we assume a mil is 18 minutes. Oy legabi isa betaharo, v'yoseb zenikra tircha meruba, gam kan chiv leilach ad shem mil. So he suggests first, maybe it's a mil. 18 minutes. Let's say, for example, where you live, it's going to be within 18 minutes to go to the Jewish store. But the Jewish store is further than 18 minutes. Then you don't have to go to the Jewish store. Then you can go to Costco, you can go to 7-Eleven, whatever else, you can go there. Now, obviously, it goes without saying that if the Jewish store is not open, you're not mechoyev to starve, right? If at 3 o'clock in the morning you need a Slurpee, okay, fine. I think you got bigger problems than worrying about the money. But if you need a Slurpee at 3 o'clock in the morning and you'll say, well, I mean, Caesar's Express is closed, so I'm just not going to have a Slurpee. That's obviously not true. Obviously, a lot of buy from the non-Jewish store. We're talking about where everything is available to you. You know, if they're not available, then they're not available. There's nothing you can do about it. When I used to live in Kew Gardens, there's one grocery store, a small grocery store. They used to close very early on Sundays. So when I'm mechoyev to starve after 5 o'clock when they close, I'm not allowed to eat anything because there's no avada. That's crazy. We're talking about if everything's equal, everything's available to you. But if it's not available to you, then there's no chiyuv to go hungry. So he says maybe it's a mil. This week comes up with heta number one. Umikomokom mistaver de chiyuv zeh dahinu davka liknes bekvias. He thinks it's only if you're going to do it all the time. or you're gonna make a really big expensive purchase. Then he thinks you should buy Jewish. Now, he thinks, but if let's say, for example, you know,
you're buying a car.
You're doing something big. Buying, you know, something, a house. You're buying a gallon of milk. You know, $2.99 versus $1.50. He's like, yeah, it's fine. He thinks that's not what, again, I don't know where he gets that from. We didn't really see that anyway. Unless he holds that's included in Dover Mut. You know, that's under Dover Mut. That's posh, that you can't make yourself crazy. I mean, every single time you're going to be somewhere, you have to say, well, maybe there's a scotch store on the block. You make yourself nuts. So if it's a small purchase, he thinks you don't have to make yourself nuts. He's crowded talking about over here buying from a non-religious versus a religious. So he thinks that, let's say, for example, the difference is going to be, you know, it's a once again. We're talking about you're doing your weekly shopping. You shop every 2-3 days. Then he thinks you should try to buy Jewish, or for that matter, buy from a religious Jew. But if it's once in a mall, nothing crazy expensive. You know, once in a mall, you're out somewhere and you want to do something. He thinks you're not mechuyev to have to bedavka buy from a religious Jew. That's one hetter he uses. We didn't see it yet. We're going to see in a second that it fits better into the pasuk of the word amisecha. The word amisecha doesn't just mean your friend. It means imoy b'teirasecha. He keeps the Torah with you. Which means he has to be able to keep the Torah. If he doesn't keep the Torah, he doesn't have the same status. Which is a chiddush. Because usually we assume non-religious Jews are just as good as religious Jews for most things. We have sometimes you have a shayla about a mummer. But here we're going to see that many achrenim felt that when it comes to this halacha, for some reason, the Torah specifically wrote the word amisecha, which comes to exclude a Jew who's not keeping Torah mitzvahs. Now the problem is, what does it mean to keep Torah mitzvahs? Are we all keeping Torah mitzvahs? We speak Lashon Hara, right? That's already done, right? So you got to only buy from Reb Chaim Kanevsky and Reb Eliashiv and Reb Moshe Feinstein. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is exactly. What does it mean to be from a Jewish? Okay, showing enough. Okay, showing the music is done. Sphere, not sphere anymore. Listen to the music. Okay. So Dr. Moshe Sternbach, that's one heter. Then he tries another one. A terrorist pause. We mentioned this sefer before. He writes like this. He thinks the heter is what we saw earlier. He says, we had a toisvis by selling your meat to the guy versus gifting it to the guy. It said, the toisvis had the following line. What did toisvis say? That if it's a small amount, then you should do it. So he says, you see from here, that's all about numbers. So he says, V'imke, in the middle of number 23, yes, I agree with that. But how do you measure that? Meaning what he's saying is not any grace of Chiddush. That's really what the Chafetz Chaim told us. The Chafetz Chaim told us that you're supposed to buy Jewish as long as the hefset is only a little bit. But what's a little bit? We don't know. So he's basically repeating what we saw earlier from the Chafetz Chaim, which is really a Mefurash HaTosfos, that as long as you're not mechuyev to go crazy, right? You're not mechuyev to lose tons of money. But how do you define miut and roif? So that doesn't help us all that much. It's interesting, if you look at the Minchas Yitzchak, number 20b, he quotes a Moir de Gechidish, an amazing Chidish from the Darkei Tshuva. Darkei Tshuva was the father of the Munkach Rebbe, the Minchas Elazar. So he writes a whopper of a Chidish. If you remember, we had a Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia said that you have to, if two people come to you, they want to borrow money. One's a Jew and one's a non-Jew. So obviously the Jew, you're not allowed to lend beribis. The guy, it might even be a mitzvah to lend him beribis. They both show up at the door, you only have enough money for one. Who do you give it to? So the Gemara says, you got to give it to the Jew, even though you're going to incur a loss. So we spoke a little bit, we mentioned the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua said you can perhaps incur a large loss. Could be this is your parnasa, right? This is a Shylock. This is your parnasa. And you're going to lose because you're going to give to the Jew and not make a dime, as opposed to the guy. You make a big profit. So he quotes the Darkei Tshuva quotes from a sefer, Mar B'Teiru, who says no. He says no. A big chiddush. He says, that's an amazing akimt in the Gemara. And when it says in the Gemara, you take the ribbis from the guy, you're not allowed to take the ribbis from the guy and you have to charge the Yisrael Shaloi B'ribbis. It's talking about where the guy was offering you mamas less than a pruta of ribbis. Then you got to take the guy over the yid. But if the ribbis that the guy is offering you is just a shavapruta, he's offering you 10 cents. Then, ha'akum kaidim. Then the guy goes first. Wow. It's almost impossible to read that into the Gemara. The Gemara said that the chiddush is that you have to lend to the Jew over the guy, even though you're losing money. According to him, you're losing a pruta. You're losing less than a pruta. That's called a loss of money. We wouldn't consider that a loss of money. So he wants to say, Zok to Minchas Yitzchak, if that's the way it works for ribbis, so that's the way it works here also. That it's a shavapruta. That's the difference. It's a mori de kakula. He's saying the only time you have to buy from the Jew over the guy is when it's a difference of less than a shavapruta. Talking pennies. difference between the Jew is $2.50 and $2.45, then you should go buy for the Jew. Yeah, I'm not even sure if 5 cents is a pruta. I don't know. It varies over time. Maybe now it's 10 cents, 12 cents is a pruta. We're talking about mamish nothing. But if it's more than that, avada, the same way I'd be allowed to lend beribis to the guy and not give it to the Jew for free, I'm not mechoyev to buy from the Jew as opposed to the yid. He leaves off himself. Is not willing to go as a vite. But if you take that psak, it changes the whole sugya. Then this whole sugya is kemat irrelevant. Almost every single time we're talking about the difference is going to be more than a shavpruta. It's just normal. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind as well. Then Moshe Derenbach continues, and he writes, then he talks about this opinion that we mentioned before, that maybe you have to go up to a sixth in difference in price, Jew versus Goy. Even though this halacha is not brought down in Shulchan Aruch, let's not forget that. This halacha is not found anywhere in the pages of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, I never heard anyone who's makbid to buy bedafka from a Jew. He's got the Jews pegged right, and everyone goes wherever it's cheapest. It's true. I never heard anyone that's willing to take a loss of a sixth to buy from a Jew over a non-Jew. And on top of that, to only buy from a religious Jew. That's only for like the real special people. Real special, special. You know, Yechidei school, they do that. But the rest of us folk, regular folk, we don't do that. Even though we started off with a Rashi, a Teres Kayanim, a Pasuk, and the Chumash. Then he goes weiter, and he says, according to what we started off with. Again, who made this halacha popular, the Ramah? So you can argue if you're a Svardi, not in your vernacular. Not in Shulchan Aruch, not in Beis Yosef, not in Rambam. I'm done, finished. Either Ramah wrote it in the Tshuva, what does that have to do with me? I'm a Sephardi, I don't follow Ramah. But us Ashkenazim, we're bound by the Ramah. Bnei Yisrael, Yotze, Biyad, Ramah, we all know. We live and die by the Ramah. That's Ashkenazim Jewry.
Isn't it only when the Ramah is...
Yes, usually when he writes something explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch. But here, he wrote a letter, and that letter has serious significance. As we read it together last week, he pretty much says, pretty clear, and you got to take a loss to support a Jew. So that kind of leaves us in a bind. Now, why is there no comment about that somewhere else in Shulchan Aruch? It's still somewhat strange. So he writes, he says, not true. He says, Avol didon she'in chayovim ki gavni. He says, you're not really obligated. Why? She'nira she'ikar adosh b'tar eskayin hu remez b'kro k'mida toivu k'sham midas toivus. He says, the Torah was just telling you what would be nice. It would be nice to buy from a Jew. It would be nice to sell to a Jew, but not obligatory. It's nice. You want to know, is it nice? Of course it's nice. Do you have to do it? No.
Yeah. So aren't we concerned that the price differential is so great that the Jew is ripping you off?
Yes, we're going to get to that.
Not 60 days.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. What gives the Jew the right to rip us all off?
Yeah.
That's very nice that we have to buy Jewish at what expense? And I don't have to pay for you to go away to a Pesach program on my dime, right? That's right. You can't raise the price. So right now, this chiddush is interesting to me. Moshe Shlemach's understanding that the whole Teres Kayanim is just to tell you good midas. I know, we read the Teres Kayanim together. It didn't really sound like that. It sounded like this is a legitimate halacha. This is pshat in the pasuk. The whole pshat in the pasuk is just to tell me how to be a nice person. Then he says, oh, but according to me, it's very good. Now we understand why it's not in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is not a midas book. It's a halacha's book. So he backs up other achorin who make this argument. Again, it's a big chiddush. I don't think it reads smoothly like that in Rashi and the Teres Kayanim. But again, he does have the raya on his side. It's not in Shulchan Aruch. So if it's not in Shulchan Aruch, he might be right. It might just be a musr, a hashkafic thing, but not a halachic thing. So once it's not halachic, so then each man follows his wallet. So you're not mechoyev to lose any money. Then he writes another shtickle Torah. He writes, again, he has like two tshuvas, different places in the Sefer, where he mutches a lot with this topic. He speaks probably the most of any contemporary achron on this topic. He talks a lot about it. Why is no one, before this year, I didn't know anything about this topic that you have to buy from a Jew. I always thought, like he says, you go wherever the price is best. That's the American Jewish motto. Go wherever the price is right. So he says, no. He has another heter. He comes up in another svar. He said, this is all we're talking about, the case with the seller or the buyer is in terrible financial situation. So me buying from him is keeping him afloat. The guy is not going to go under. He wants to be rich. The American dream. Then ain chiyuv looked at me and the biyaker. I'm not mechuyev to make him rich. I'm not mechuyev to send his kids to sleepaway camp. I'm mechuyev to worry about my kids. So if it's a question of him staying afloat, no. So maybe I should buy from him to keep him afloat that he doesn't go into debt. But that he should be wealthier than me, that he should be wealthier than the rest of us. Why am I mechuyev to do that? V'adarabah, chayecha koidman, I gotta worry about me first. V'lomo tzorich lidik shechaver yisasher achash benoiv v'yavsid. I should worry about him getting rich, and I'm the one who's going to pay for it. You don't have to do that. She says, most stores today, they have enough to stay afloat. Again, if you go once or twice to Costco, the local stores are not going to close. So someone said, well, if everyone does that, then the local stores will close. But now everyone's going to do that. At the end of the day, there are people that don't go to Costco. And the people that don't go to the grocery stores, they don't. So at the end of the day, if you once in a while go to a Costco, it's not going to cause, the major grocery stores in the Jewish community to close. It's not. Now, if you have a very small community, it might. If you have a very, very small community that's supporting one store, maybe. But here, I don't believe for a second that's the case. If everyone here took a trip every third day or every week to Costco to buy a couple of things or to a BJ's, I don't think anyone is going to close up and file bankruptcy. They won't get as rich. Okay, they won't get as rich. I won't get as rich either. That's we all have to worry about ourselves.
So we're a prime example of that.
Exactly.
People go to both.
That's right. So people go to both. What happened? The answer is I am supporting him. I'm not mechuyev to give him all my money. I'm not mechuyev to make sure that he can build an extra wing to his house. That's not my job. My job is to keep Baruch Hashem. The stores. What's the ride? The stores are all still floating, right? That's the biggest ride, that they'll be able to handle this dual loyalty in your shopping. So then he writes. He says, well, if he's a kan, shereva, moichim yesh, leva, kain, ein makbidim look like eitzom, el afilu eitzom nochi bezol yoyser, vasi shaper. He writes, avala poiskim stomach lechilkum, but the poiskim don't make this distinction. I mean, this is his own chiddush, that you're not mechoyiv to make the grocery stores wealthy. I think it's very mistavra like that. Why am I mechoyiv to make you wealthy? I'm mechoyiv to give you business, to keep you open, to make sure you could pay your bills and pay what you need. But that you're going to do fantastically wealthy, that you're going to be doing, so well. So that, I think, is another legitimate heter. This is our second heter. Meaning, first heter is that you hold the whole thing is only a midas chasidus. The whole thing is just midas, not halacha. That's eitza number one. Eitza number two is, no, avada it's halacha, but halacha means that I have to make sure you stay in business. I'm not mechuyiv to make sure you do fantastically well in business. So again, that's negeya to other shailas of, let's say, hiring someone for work, right? You want to hire someone who's not Jewish, or you want to hire someone who's a Jew, which one do you hire? Right? So if you say this whole thing is not a halacha, it's just hashkafa, good, so for hashkafa, I'm going to hire who I want to hire. But if the question is, if I'm going to hire you, and you're going to do very well, that's going to cost me a lot of money. So if, again, by a job, it's a little bit trickier, because the guy might not have another way to make panasa. The guy might not be able to make enough panosa. My father said to Maisa once, he was looking to hire a guy to do sales for him. And he called the guy in Lakewood. The guy, my father gave him a number. He said, for that price, I'll stay in Koil. For that price, because if I leave Koil, I'm going to have to come off of the government assistance. And for what you're paying me, it's not worth it. That's a problem. That's a big problem. We're not going to get into the complications of Koil now, but that's so I'm going to give less because you don't want to do the job. Very happy you want to get the government programs. I also want the government programs, right? So that's a funny case. We're talking about the guy's willing to do his part. He's willing to work, but the guy, again, sometimes the guy can give you better hours. The guy's not going to miss for the Chumash plays and for the Siyumim and for Yom Tov. Right? They're not. Okay, you have to know how to be Mishar in such a situation. And then he comes up with his last heter. He writes, I looked into the Shiloh again. Now he wants to argue on the Ramah. This is new territory. He wants to argue on the whole premise of the Ramah. The Ramah's premise is that two options, non-Jew and Jewish, you got to buy Jewish even if it's going to cost you money. He says, I don't think it's true. He says, because I think we have reshined him before we should say otherwise. Where do you have reshined him otherwise? By the din of Dina de Bar Metzra. What's Dina de Bar Metzra? Let's say, for example, you want to sell your house. So you have a question. So the people who live next door have first dibs on the house. You should sell it to them first. They're local, they're neighbors, they have rights first. The question is, let's say they want to pay a lot less than what you want to offer. The guy from down the block, the guy from the other town, he wants to pay a lot of money. The guy who lives around the corner says, yeah, I want it because I'm a neighbor, dinner's about mitzvah, but I want to pay less than you're asking. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, in Choshe Mishpat, When do we put in cheirim? That's when you sell to a guy, and the Jew next door is willing to pay. The guy is willing to pay more than the Jew. Then the Shulchan Aruch says mutter. So I compare it to the same thing here also. If the Jew and the guy are on the same price, you're right, I should buy from the Jew. But if the guy is more money, why should I, if the guy is less money, why should I pay more money for the Jew? And therefore he argues on the entire premise of the Ramah, and he quotes, that was the opinion of the guy Mibrazan, which is also known as the Marsham, that he also held, that you're not mechuyev to spend extra money to buy a Jew. If the guy is cheaper, you can buy from the guy. This is our third heter so far, that you can buy from, again, it doesn't help you if everything's shav b'shav. Again, if you put your house up for sale, and two people come knocking on the door, one guy's a Jew, and one guy's a non-Jew, and they both give you the same, exact same price, offer, then you probably should sell to, again, at least me the toiva, you should sell to the Jew. Again, if you sell to the guy, your neighbors might not like you anyways, because, you know, they get all upset when you sell to non-Jews.
You think it would apply, you're selling your house, say I want $100,000, and the non-Jew says, I'll give you
110,
the Jew says, I'll give you
100. Yeah, so you're going to lose money. Yeah, you can get 100. Again, yeah, you can argue that's not losing, but here you have the I would argue that here you have the potential to make an extra $10,000. You're not mechuyev to lose that. You can make
$10,000. So what about if you live in a small community and there's only one store,
So if the store is going to go under and your job is to keep the store afloat... Yeah, maybe. So again, a lot of what we're talking about now, it depends on which heter you want to go into. If you're going into the heter, again, the first heter is that I'm not mechuyev al pi din. So if you're not mechuyev al pi din, you're not mechuyev al pi din no matter where you live. If you go with the second heter, that I'm not mechuyev to make you rich, but I'm mechuyev to keep you afloat, then I gotta keep you afloat. Right? Then it would apply. If you go like the third heter, so then the third heter, no, you're not mechuyev to lose money or to spend extra money to buy Jews. He'll go afloat, he'll have to go into a different industry. Now, you feel bad for the guy, but maybe, you know, grocery stores are not his calling in life. You know, you should go into something else. Okay, let's see another heter. Another heter. Page 4. He writes, this is very interesting. And for the life of me, I can't say I understand it. Neither does Ramash Shtemach, so I feel like I'm a good company. He writes, he says, you know why we're not makma today to only buy Jewish? It's going to lead to anti-Semitism. If all the Jews only bought from Jewish stores, it would lead to anti-Semitism. I think this depends where you live. Meaning, if no Jews went into some of the big, you know, chain stores, you really think anyone would get insulted? Again, obviously, if a major chain store puts itself in a very heavily populated Jewish community, they'll be a little upset. But, you know, if you go to a chain store, you know, that's not in this neighborhood, you think anyone's really going to, you know, take stock that Jews aren't shopping here? Maybe.
If the Kmart estate, I think they would be happier if the Jews stayed away.
Right, you know. I think go to the 7-Eleven. If Jews stopped going to the 7-Eleven, you think 7-Eleven would think that... It would lead to anti-Semitism. I don't know. Maybe depending on where you live and the people.
Costco puts a half shirt on all their. And if all the Jews.
Right. So the Costco is a bad example because look where the Costco is located. The Costco is located smack in the middle. You know, Ramish right near a Jewish community. But let's say, you know, yeah, I call the Fiyanian. You have to know depending on how it's situated. Right. The beaches are usually not in Jewish communities. So then you got to go out of your way to go there. So if you don't go out of your way to go there, what, those types of stores. But here, Costco knew what they were doing. They knew where they put the store. You know, now we'll have to see what the other store from Brooklyn is coming here now. So we'll have to see how that's going to work. That's really going to create this type of shiloh. Well, besides for that, it's going to really create this type of shiloh. Because the whole reason why people go to Costco is because you can buy in bulk and in there. But now if they're going to bring Bingos here, you can get all that in Bingos. And Bingos is a Jewish store. So now you really have to start figuring out. So this is Mamash becomes Allah Lamais. Right, that's what he's suggesting. So Ramash Shtemach doesn't like it. He says, Ve'im b'tvav hechrich. Not necessarily. U'befrab is manenu shesh chufesh l'cholecha. There's stores for everyone. V'gam motze b'yoytze medina shemishtad l'miklis etzal b'nei medina sein v'lechashin l'leva. Everyone buys by where they feel, you know, they're more comfortable. No one gets touchy. And no one gets upset that the Jews only eat in the Jewish pizza stores. Why don't we eat in Domino's? Because they know we don't eat in Domino's. It's not. No, I guess Jeff's point is, but if we give them kosher and they don't buy us, then they're going to get a little bit insulted. I mean, we have a kosher section for you, and some of these kosher sections are very, very reliable. They have Chavkei or you, all these good kashrus, Chavkei, you know, Star K. We're offering it to you. Why are you not buying it? Okay, you'll have to know the feel of the community to know if that's a legitimate argument. But this is what everyone wants to hear from the Sefer Shraga HaMeir. He points out what everyone's been saying. He says, Avo bevadei tzorich lahazir la Yehudi. You got to tell the Jews, you can't ask a high price. You got to keep it fair. Now, they'll tell you they are keeping it fair. Okay, you have to know. You have to know how the, I don't know the market. But, you know, again, obviously a smaller store is not going to be able to compete with a chain store. It's impossible. The numbers are just not there. But they have to be honest with themselves and with their customers. Are they overcharging us because they can get away with it? Because, listen, you got to buy Jewish, so you're going to come to us. So he's saying that if they're not keeping fair with their end, then, you know, again, it's like we saw earlier. I'm not mechuyev to make you rich. Whichever kosher grocery store you have, I'm not mechuyev that he should become wealthy. I'm mechuyev that he should make his parnasa. The same way I have to make my parnasa. So if he's going to raise the prices, I could tell him I'm going somewhere else.
Is there any thought of the store being mocha? In other words, he wants to keep his high prices. Tells anybody, I'm mochel you if you go somewhere else. Therefore,
I would assume that the Jew can be mochel that. Yeah, I'm not mochel against the Jew's will. The Jew says, listen, you guys can buy anywhere you want. Free market, capitalism at its best, shop wherever you want. I would assume that there's no chiv to buy against the will of the Jew.
Because it's convenient.
Right.
Maybe they'll keep their prices high, but for convenience.
Again, the Jewish stores will always be traveled by Jewish people. I'm not worried. I don't think... You know, the Jews are all going to go to Costco, and they're all going to go to BJ's, and they're going to stop. There's still always going to, there's something convenient about shopping in a Jewish store. You don't have to check every label, you know. There is something convenient about...
You pay for it.
And people are okay with that. They understand that. This is just what it is. That's what it means to live in a Jewish community. And there are people who live out of town that wish they could have that.
Right.
And we complain about it, but there are people who live out of town that wish they could have a store they can just pop in and go to any aisle they want. Someone called me before Pesach about baby food. That there was no kashrus on their baby food. And you need. Baby food 100% needs to have hashgach. So I said, where'd you buy it? So they said, we bought it in a kosher store. I said, it doesn't make sense. I said, in a kosher store, they check for these things. Now, mishaps have happened. I've been involved where mishaps have happened in very kosher stores, but they're called very good. So they took a check the bottle, and they didn't see, but there was an OU on the bottle. That's what you're paying for. That you don't have to worry about things like this. You go to these other stores, you come back, and you have to start stressing. Is it really kosher? Is it not really kosher? Where's the OU? Is it on the package? Is it on the box? You go to kosher store, you say, Baruch Shem Petrani, I don't have to worry about it. The Vag gives Ashgach to the store, I can do anything I want. And you pay for it, whatever it's worth. So then maybe it's... You're paying for that. It's not the pshat that you're paying for that. It's worth a lot of money, in my opinion. I think those of you who didn't grow up with a kosher grocery store, you know it even better. You know, you go, you just shop, and you don't think twice. And it's a geschmack of feeling. Your kids go, that's the problem. Sometimes if I go with my kids to a place that's not like that, they have to be careful, because not everything you pull off the shelf is kosher. You got to look.
Wow.
You got to look. You go here. It's a machaya, every store. You just take and go, and you don't have to worry about it. So it's worth something. It's interesting. Reb Chaim Kanevsky came up with an interesting chap. He said there's only one time a year where it's better not to buy from a Jew and it's better to buy from a Goy. What's the one time a year it's better to buy? Right after Pesach. So he argued, and this is a big touchy topic, is that, you know, let's for example, I don't sell chametz. Let's say I would not sell chametz gomer. I do sell chametz gomer, but let's say I wouldn't sell chametz gomer. So why would I go to a store that sells chametz gomer over Pesach? So the truth is, it's not such a kasha, because the reason why I don't sell chametz gomer is because when they made up this chap of chametz, selling chametz, they didn't make it up for people like me that have two boxes of noodles. They made it for people that have thousands upon thousands of dollars of inventory that they're going to take a loss. So for them, they're talking a lot of sell the chametz. Me, I should just get rid of my two boxes of noodles and, half-eaten challah roll. So it's really not such a big deal. But there are people that are very makbid, they will not buy from a store that sells chametz. So where are you going to go shopping? You're going to go to the non-Jewish store. So Reb Chaim Kanevsky says, that's okay. Why? He says, a simple lum this we saw earlier. He says, because I don't want what you're selling. If I don't want what the Jewish store is selling, and I want what the Goyish store is selling, that's not a problem. You're selling me chametz that was sold over Pesach. I don't want that. So I want what the Goyish store is selling me. That's chametz-free food. So Dr. Chaim Kanevsky, then there's no shayla of picking Jew over Goy. It's only picking Jew over Goy when they both are selling me the same thing. Like I said before, if I want Haagen-Dazs and the kosher store is only selling Chol Yisrael, I'm going to go to 7-Eleven to get the Haagen-Dazs. Because the kosher store is not selling what I want. I'm not mechuyev to buy what I don't want to keep the Jew in business. That's not fair. So Dr. Chaim Kanevsky here also, if what the guy is selling, if what the Jew is selling is not what you want, because you don't want this, then you're not mechuyev to buy it. That was his psak. Okay, so let's just keep moving because I want to finish this tonight. If you look over number 30, Ramosha Shtembach. I mentioned to you before, Moshe Sternbach is Rabbi Makel with this whole topic. He came up with three heterim to why the Velt is not makel. But look how he ends off his tshuva number 30. He says, "Avo ba'oifin she'ein tircha." But let's say everything is equal. No tircha. You're buying from Amazon. Ki goyin shemazmi b'telephone. We're going old school where you order things from a phone. V'adai she'ein meshabes koydim kishamechir v'atroim shav zeb pashat. It should always go, if everything is equal, all bets are equal, which are come out or never. very rarely are all bets equal. You're going to buy, let's say, for example, you're going to buy a massive object, a washing machine, a dryer, or something like that from a Jewish store, and it's the exact same price as what you can get on Amazon. Very rare. Very rare. But okay, nanechan happens. Everything's equal. He says, Avadi, you should go for the Jewish already, because what do you have to lose? What's the big deal? It's going to be the same. Now, comes along the Minchas Yitzchak, and he comes up with another idea. He says over here that we're not talking about, if I don't buy from the Jew, the store is going to close. He says, but if you're living in a small community, and if you don't buy from the store, the guy's going to go under and lose his parnasa, he says, then you have a mitzvah to help him out. He writes number 31, he says, Aval kolzeh b'negeh l'ak domes Yisrael me'ak mikro dam yisecha. Aval hecha d'negeh l'parnosas ha'chanvonim ha'ktanim. If it's negeh to their parnosas, small stores, so they start the loom in mechios and they can't stay afloat. Shuv yesh b'zeh b'shum divri ha'teres k'ayin machim. Then there's another teres k'ayinim that says I have to keep them in business. What does it say over there? Ki yom uchachicha mata chichi mechosam parashas bahar. It says when your brother will fall on hard times, Rashi quotes the famous Medrash that he's on his way down, so don't wait till he falls and gets bankrupt, and then he's playing catch up. Help him before he falls. So says in Minchas Yitzchak here also. While he's still in his place, grab him. So once he falls on the ground, five people can't pick him up. We all know that. That's the way it works. So he wants to say, as does Rav Moshe Sternbuch, that if you see that it's a question of keeping him afloat, then you should try to shop by him. But if it's just a question of him getting wealthier, again, that's not that's what we're discussing. But if the guy is posted a small store in a small community, that if you don't shop by him, he's going to lose business. This came up a lot after COVID, or during COVID, where there were a lot of industries that were hit very badly during COVID, and there are bottom all pushed that we should all go buy these stores. Why? If not, they're going to close and lose their parnos. So he says that that's something you should do from another Teres Kayanim.
My uncle used to tell me, in the small communities, you go to them because they're also doing it for you.
Right, they want
to make a living.
Right.
Making your life.
Right, that's also true. If they close, then you're stuck. Mm-hmm. Right, there's nothing left either. So that's also true. Then Rav Moshe Sternbuch says the same idea. He says, "Miyum lihudi chanusu mismaitet bepanasosoi ro'u l'ravo ir l'chai v'kolecha l'kteis etzlai." Then the rov of the city should make everyone shop there. U'kishakoyin mikai mitzvah v'chzakteba. Again, still, the guy can't get selfish or greedy with this. Doesn't give him the Jew can't go crazy and say, well, I'm the only store in the neighborhood and this is my parnosa, so everyone has to pay, you know, absorbent price. It's got to still be within a normal range of understanding that we're not breaking our back to help support you. Now we're going to talk about where does it work versus a non-religious Jew. How does a Jew who's religious go up against a non-religious Jew? How does that work? So Moshe Sternbuch quotes over here. He says, "V'yesh litzar moed." I'm very bothered. Shabbat Hasein Rabbim le'makpidim ayim nikkes mishem b'Shabbat Zafka. People are not makpid to only buy from religious Jews. Afilu ma'amachir etzli shavu l'shar chaniyos. Even when they're equal, again, equal price. You can go Jewish. You can go religious, non-religious. He says people go just wherever. They don't cheshbon that there's a zach to give a from yid business. So he writes, "V'arizim before shbetayr lahakdam Yisrael shu amisecha." She says, "I heard testimony from the Chazanish. Hikmi ma'oy liknei dafka eitzah shoyim b'shabbat. The Chazanish would only buy from religious Jews. Ukeshashalach lavi la trufa mebeis markeches. When they had to get him a prescription from the pharmacy, his liknei eitzah shoyim b'shabbat. He only wanted medicine from a shoyim b'shabbat pharmacy. Av shoyse chanos rechuka yoyser. Even though the kosher pharmacy was further away, olavad loy liknei eitzah machal b'shabbat." But the Chazanish would not take anything from a Machal Shabbos. Machmas adin dechisikna miyala misecha shkishetikna loytikna ela meyam misecha. So he assumed meyam misecha doesn't just mean from a Jew, it means from a religious Jew. Which gets very, very touchy, because they're Jewish also. That could create real eva. You don't shop by me, I'm a Jew. We're both Jews, right? So he assumed that amisecha doesn't just mean Jewish, it means religious. And the Shraga HaMeir brings it out as well. He writes, he says, why does it have to mean religious? He says, "V'shom dorshu chazal." The Gemara says in Bamitzia, "Am im sha'ato atcha b'teira u'b'mitzvos al tainu." Who are you now allowed to do a nos dvarim to? Someone who's with you in Torah mitzvos. V'ayim b'nimuki yosef v'shom shukasa b'zelo shoyin. Amar mechabe mahod de'im te'am she'itcha b'teira u'b'mitzvos al tainu. L'manu shli hizra kasa b'inos dvarim el yirei Hashem. A huge kula in a nos dvarim. If you want to give a nos dvarim to another Jew, so according to this, if he's not religious, it's okay. Another religious Jew, you're not allowed to be mean to, speak verbally mean to. But if he's not religious, then it's okay. Why? Because amisecha doesn't just mean your brother, means he's with you in the Torah, he keeps the Torah as well as you. So says the Shraga Meir, same thing as the Chazanish, that this halacha applies here also. When it says in the Torah the words buying and selling, it says the word Amisecha. So Amisecha means he's got to be like you. It means like you that what? He keeps the Torah mitzvahs. So he, therefore he writes over here, V'kivin delinyan liknei selimkar, k'siv gamkein biyad Amisecha. It says the same words, biyad Amisecha, al-kein, gamkein davke imhu im sha'atcha b'Torah b'mitzvahs. V'chein kosta b'shal shuvah z'cham soifir chosh mishbut. That's what z'cham soifir says. That he's got to be religious. V'al-kein, imhu mechal Shabbos. Ava bishu tinik shenishba. Not his fault. He was raised in a non-religious home. Im kol ze loy nikra amisecha. At the end of the day, he's not keeping Torah. Im sha'atcha b'Torah mitzvahs. Im ha'yuksiv mi'chaverecha. If the Torah would have said, buy and sell from your friend, your chaver. Efshe l'chalak ben tinik shenishba. I can hear a difference between the tinik shenishba. Chol zman shu mamin be'ikre hados nikri ach v'reya. Ayin ma'shikosev b'sev b'sifri. It says what Amisecha. Am im sha'atcha b'toyru b'mitzvos. Zeh gam tinik shenishba en itcha b'toyru b'mitzvos. Baltik echidish. Him and the Chazanish both assume that a religious Jew has a higher ranking than a non-religious Jew. So when it comes to buying and selling and all these other things, he thinks that preferably we should give it to the religious Jew.
So years ago, Chabad had a big machlokas in the neighborhood. Chabad would check off whether that particular
store owner
was from a Shabbos or not.
Wow.
And the community went wild. Like, why are you embarrassing the guy? Well, that was a conservative shul. Everything was kosher.
So now we know why. This is the reason.
It didn't last long.
I could only imagine. Right, but I can see that someone would say, I'd rather go to a store where the yid is from, based on this halacha. And it's not only that, Menachas Yitzchak says it also. 35, he writes, Vimkein, Shaykh Din, Atar Eskrenim, Gamkein, Yeshliknes, Eitzel Yehudim, Shoymei Torah Mitzvahs, Veloi Eitzel, She'enem, Shoymei Torah Mitzvahs. So again, there is something special about buying from a Jew. There is something special about buying from a religious Jew. Now, halacha l'maisa, how does this all play out? It's still very vague. We have by us in Queens, we had a non-Jewish liquor store on Main Street for many, many years. And then down the block on Jewel Avenue, a Jewish guy opened up a liquor store. From guy. What are you supposed to do now? That's it. Supposedly the non-Jewish guy was the Shabbos guy in the neighborhood. He was very nice to the Jewish people. He was a very nice man. He's a Shabbos guy.
They stocked all kosher wine.
Right, so now what do you do now? So people keep on asking me, what do they do now? I don't know. They told me that this guy has his liquor store. He's open on Shabbos, not for any business. No one comes and buys wine on Shabbos. He's open just so he can be the Shabbos guy.
There's a sign there.
That's right. It's Shabbos guy.
Shabbos
That's
guy.
Right.
Welcome.
He says, I'm the Shabbos guy.
Really?
Yeah, he says on the sign, I'm the Shabbos guy.
Sign, yeah.
Yeah.
Is he a Greek fellow?
He's some form of Indian or something. Yeah. So it's a very nice guy.
Shabbos guy available. There's no guy in there.
He's very sweet. The question just is, now that there's a Jew, and the store happens to be opened by Chassidish lady. It's fascinating to watch Chassidish lady on the right, mom is down the block. So you can't even claim Tircha. It's like, it's really, really, the parking is a little better on Main Street than Jewel, but it's really presents an interesting dilemma. What do you do in these types of situations? Again, the prices, I don't know how different they are, to be honest with you.
He's probably cheaper than
The non-Jew is a little cheaper. So it gets very sticky because people are saying to me, well, we owe so much Hakaras HaTayv to the guy. He was in the neighborhood for 25 years. He was the only liquor store. He's our Shabbos guy. And then we're going to tell him, bye-bye, we're going out to the Jewish guy. Maybe, I don't know. Again,
That could cause.
This is calls are awesome into this sugya, which we'll leave off like this. That's the sugya. If you accept it, Alpi Allah, like the Ramah seemed to have done it, like the Mishnah Berurah Avos Chesed. But again, you have many of the teim that the Ramah Shtenberg seems to fall back on, and it definitely creates a difficult situation. Again, if all bets are equal and everything is the same, yeah, but if there's a reason maybe that I want to buy from the guy, you know, keep him afloat, and not that I want to keep him afloat, but I have other reasons why I want the store to stay open, maybe you could be samech on those places, and that this whole thing is only immediately. Next week's share will be even more controversial, because next week's share we're going to talk about, are you allowed to write and use legal secular dates? Right? We live in a very secular world. Right? If you ask people what's today's date, they're not going to tell you Sivan, the Ches Sivan. They'll tell you today's June, whatever. Am I allowed to write that? Am I allowed to sign that? Am I allowed to say that? It sounds like a very funny topic, but we'll see. Especially if you're Hungarian, you don't want to miss a share. Because if you're Hungarian, the Hungarian Rabbanim starting from the 19th century, or even the 18th century, were so makbid. So you got to be careful. If you're Hungarian, you want to... What? Yeah. The assumption is whether or not these dates have something to do with Yashka.
I was looking at my parents.
So you want to see this.
The other day and then